Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
There's one aspect of being a Christian that can trouble us. Even the most convinced, even the most active Christian can be troubled by this. What I'm thinking about this morning is a theological question. It is simply one that perhaps you have thought, perhaps you're thinking it now. Perhaps you have reduced God to such a degree that He is no longer the God of the universe, who created the universe. The question that I have in mind is, do I really believe God is in charge of the destiny of the world? That's a big question. Because we are tempted to believe that He isn't. He isn't in the things that destroy us or make us sick or, you know, certainly not in our death. We certainly do not look to Him because of international politics. Perhaps we have delegated Jesus, we have delegated God to be someone who doesn't look after anything except His church. Perhaps you in your mind have placed Him in that situation. Perhaps you have thought, well, He takes care of me, but maybe He doesn't take care of everyone. Perhaps He hears me, but He doesn't hear the prayers of everyone. God hears our prayers. He hears them when we're in desperation. He hears them when we're in joy. He hears our prayers. We isolate ourselves and our religious thoughts because we feel like we want authority. We want authority of the world to control certain things. We don't want God to be in charge of everything that is. That is not the way to peace. The way to peace comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, and no other. He reigns in history and in His churches. He reigns. When He says you're going to leave your job at NASA, He means you're going to leave it. You're going to leave it willingly, or you're going to leave it, but you're going to leave it. Trust me on that. God is Lord of all. And we, as active Christians, as people who live out our faith, in this Advent season, have a reason to think and reflect and refresh our spirits, because God is coming. God has come. God is coming again. That's what Advent really means. It means that God, who was from the beginning, is with us now and will come back to rule and reign at a later date. And we know that. The God whose Son was born to bring light to a world that dwelt in darkness, and that's the whole human family. The God who sent His only begotten Son loves us so much that He sent Him into this world, corrupted by sin, that we could be with Him. He sent His Son to light the way for each of us to find Him. You know, the dreams that dominate our lives are not new dreams. their dreams as old as history. How many times has some visionary looked over the chaos of this world and the political screaming, the reality of sickness and death, the chorus of voices ringing in our ears that Christians have been taken over by the material world, that we are small and insignificant. How often? And yet, the Bible records that there are people in the Scriptures who have heard from God, and He has given them a dream of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. We know that this is true, that visionaries like Isaiah dreamed such a dream. And who had the same questions we face today? Such was the case of Isaiah that we have in our time. You know, each of us needs to reflect on God's love for us, for our family, for our church, for our home, for our state, for the United States, for the world. God has placed in us a dream that is so graphic. You know, others have had dreams. There was one who dreamt the dream. He said, "I dream a dream of a time when my children will no longer be judged by the color of their skin, but by the context of their lives, their character." His name was Martin Luther King. But before him was one who dreamt a dream of world peace. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You that You have brought us to a time when we can, without reservation, say that You are our God. You are in control of everything in our lives. You are controlling everything we are, everything we have, everything we hope to be. You are our all in all. Father, may we submit to You today that all things visible and invisible may give You praise and glory. For it is in You that our hope springs eternal. And Father, if there be anything that I would say that is not in perfect keeping with Your word for us today, then I ask You to cast it out. Cast it from my memory, cast it from the pages that I have written, cast it from everything, from the memory of everyone here. May only those things that You speak touch our hearts and transform us into new creatures. For You have the power to do that. And we ask You to use that power in us today. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may stand or sit for the reading of the Word. I'll read from Isaiah, the second chapter, verses 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, nor shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Amen and amen. Isaiah certainly lived in a dangerous world, where war seemed intimate. It seemed as though it was going to come upon them right away, that it was something that was on their very doorsteps. Little Judah was overshadowed by the large, hungry powers that hung like a dark cloud over the forces of Israel. At any moment, the overwhelming forces of invaders could sweep among the people like a devastating tsunami. Momentary peace fostered a false sense of security among the people. Perhaps you recognize that as well. Perhaps things are going well for you. Things are going terrific in your life. But just around the corner, just in the shadows, are something that could destroy and shatter your dreams. Perhaps that is the way the people felt when Isaiah wrote this. He knew what passed as peace was in danger of being destroyed with the coming of the next dawn. He knew that. Prosperity had dulled the senses of the multitudes and caused them to think that they were the secure in their own cocoon. You know, in the 1920s, the world thought that they had everything by the back legs. They thought that everything was peachy keen. That's where I get that expression, by the way. Where do you think you are? Are you peachy keen today? As the stock market goes up, your 401ks go up with it. Trust me, comes a crash, 1929, and people flee from the tops of buildings. That is the kind of situation we get lulled into. We get lulled into a sense of false security. And when we do, the unstableness of the times brings forth the vision that Isaiah had. A day when nations and people would be at peace with one another. And the meeting of the armies of the world would be no more. He dreamed of a permanent peace. A peace that is permanent. Haven't you ever dreamed for that? Haven't you ever wanted that? He wanted it for his people in his time. But for Isaiah, the dream was no futuristic vision for some other time or place in history. It was a dream he dreamed, not just for his time, but for all time. In our present world, with its constant endless conflicts, whether there are incidents of terrorism that take the lives of people we know. Perhaps it's cancer that the very word frightens us. Perhaps it is the fear that we take with us as we go along our way, thinking that, oh, like the little character in the cartoon that used to have a cloud hanging over his head all the time. Nuclear threats that we face from Russia, around the world, in China, all over. We might do well to take a long look at Isaiah's vision for world peace. What did he say? What was the pathway that he indicated that would take us into fear? It was a temporary thing. It was a fear that was of our own making, the fear of our unbelief in God. Because once we place our faith in God, everything else is taken care of. Once we place our faith in God, our destination in life for eternity is settled. He dreamed of a permanent peace. Whether we're conflicted over global warming or climate change or the danger of terrorism, the lawless nature of our people, or the drugs that constantly destroy young lives, whatever we fear needs to be taken to the Lord and cast on Him. He said, cast all of your fears on Me. God has not abandoned you. He is not a God who loved you and then went off into some place in eternity and decided to watch the clock. No. He is constantly engaged in our lives as He expects us to be engaged in His. Isaiah tells us of the way, the pathway to peace begins with a return to the Lord. Isaiah tells us that a return to the Lord, submission to Him and His teachings, is the way that we find the road to peace. Such has been the call of prophets throughout history. Such is the call on each of us today. You know, each of us has heard the call. Taka heard it in Japan. The young man that we saw in the film heard it in Houston, Texas, as he achieved what the world anticipated he would achieve. Taka, as a young girl, saw the bombers from America go across her in the clouds to Hiroshima and blow them up. How would you like to be a missionary in Japan and explain to the Japanese small child the atomic war? You couldn't. Neither could I. You have to look toward Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. And when God's ways, God's path, God's laws are disobeyed, the world is shattered. But when you look at what we need to look at, the peace of God, we only find it in God's ways, God's path, and God's law. Some strong and charismatic leaders can quickly take us down the path to ruin. We can follow some of them to destroy our nations and the world. We have seen that all too often in our own times, in our fragmented and fragile world. Is it not time to return to the pathway that Isaiah calls us to? Is it not time for us to hear the Prince of Peace call to each of us to have peace, to be at peace? He said, "Peace I give you. Not as the world gives, give I thee. Peace." Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God." Because they've given up everything else. They've given up their reputations for God. They've given up the fact that people will laugh at them for walking away from a job or walking away from a calling that was very successful. They have gone through all of that, but they're trying to follow God's voice. And when you try to follow God's voice, God will light the way, and He will lead you wherever He wants. The pathway to peace will lead us to the future of the foundations of faith rooted in God. God-like faith turns the other cheek. God-like faith walks the second mile. God-like faith gives to those who are not our neighbors, who we never may see again, but who love the Lord through us. We have the urgency to spread the word. We are Christ bearers at the crossroad. We are those people who walk under the shadow of the cross and take it with us wherever we go. The pathway to peace will always bring us home. Faith in God leads people to trust one another, to trust themselves, to trust the world. And in the world, trust is a commodity that is very hard to find. Following God's pathway to peace is envisioned by Isaiah, and it will lead to turning the weapons of war into protective instruments of peace for our daily lives, for the life of those around us. Throughout history, there have been many approaches to peace. They've all tried, and they've all failed. Negotiations have been set up. Negotiators of every stripe have sat around tables and made peace treaties that have been broken multiple times. They have made armed treaties, and those treaties have been broken countless of times, because they are built on man's wisdom, man's ways. God said, "My ways are not your ways. My ways are not your ways." It is not the call of every Christian to follow every whim of the world, but after the Master, after the Master's call. It's time to consider what we should do. Should we give up and throw our hands in the air? No. No. Is it not time to truly come to the Lord and cast all of our cares upon Him, beat our personal swords into plowshares, our personal spears into fishhooks? It's time to submit to the Lord's way and follow Him into a place where we turn from reliance on man's attempts and remember that God is the God of the universe. He created us. He wants us to enjoy everything that He has stored up for us. Everything. We are to be more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. We are to have everything we desire to have that is within God's plan for us. We need to find the peace of God that only God can give. Is it not time to believe in the presence and the power of the Lord, and that He can change our very lifestyles? Because we can't change them. We cannot change, but with God's help, we can be changed. We can be made new creatures. It's not time to believe that the sores of deceit and war will go into fear, but the sores of grace and peace will go before the Lord. Is it not time for each of us to submit to the Lord's ways and follow Him into a place where we turn away from reliance on the man's attempts and remember that God is God? That reduces the screaming on both sides of the issue. I hate this. I'm against that. I only want this when it suits me. That needs to be given up. Needs to be given up. Because God's ways are not our ways. God is the God of history. And the answer to every question that separates us. He is our God. And during this Advent season, we need to return and refresh our faith in Him. He is to be exalted. He is to be loved beyond all a manner of love. He is to be exalted. He is to be glorified. Too often we worry about ourselves. And shall I be lifted up? And shall I be glorified? And shall I be the... No. It is simply this that we need to yearn for, that we become the servants that He created us to be. He created us to be the servants of the one who He sent to serve us all. Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus is the reason we're alive. By Him, all things were made that were made, and nothing was made without Him. He is the reason we celebrate.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.